You are listening to Simpler One Earth Living from Jubilee One Earth Economics and Simple Living Works with co-hosts Lee Van Ham and Jerry Iverson. Today we feature a conversation with Ruth Ann Angus, director of the Yes We Can Peace Builders in Morro Bay, California. Greetings, Lee, from Paso Robles, California, and Simple Living Works.
Greetings to you, Jerry, from San Diego and Jubilee One Earth Economics. Well, it's December, and already, we might add. And during this month, we'll see lots of decorations with the word peace. It's probably sparkly, it'll be in lights in some cases. And we see greeting cards wishing for peace on earth. And this is part of the angel message to the shepherds. It's a fascinating point in the story, the birth story of Jesus. I talk about this in my new book, if I might put in a plug so early, The Liberating Birth of Jesus. And it says there, that the angel talking to the shepherds was joined by a heavenly host of angels. That language, heavenly host, always refers in the genre, which is, it's really the apocalyptic genre, but I won't explain what that all means. It does not mean the popular use of apocalypse. It's much more the genre by which people protested empire and gave alternatives to superpowers. And that's what's going on here. The heavenly hosts are the armies of the cosmos. And these angelic armies are singing glory to God in the highest. So, Caesar, the Most High Augustus, is not the highest. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to all of goodwill. And this peace is directly different from the military enforced peace that Rome was so proud of. So this is a very dramatic political wish to have peace on earth. And so it's an exciting month, and I'm so glad that we have a conversation today with a peacemaker. Tell us how you met Ruth.
Yes, I met Ruth Ann several years ago when she spoke to the Paso Peace Community here in Paso Robles. She has proven to be a mentor for us as we try to move the local city council to adopt a resolution declaring Paso Robles a non-violent city, as she and her group, Yes We Can Peace Builders, did in Morro Bay on the California Central Coast. We would be joining a national movement of non-violent cities that work with police, schools, businesses, and non-profit organizations for social and economic justice.
I really wish you well in that effort. Jerry, I just want to say that I love how our podcasts most commonly raise up the voices of so many different people working with ingenuity and great love to foster well-being in their communities and in the world. This episode is another example. Listeners outside the state of California may have no idea where Morro Bay is, but beautiful as it is, many of us would not know. For example, when Juanita and I visited Morro Bay a year or two ago, we had no idea about some of the things that Ruth Ann tells us. So it's a great example of how a resident is doing the sacred work of countering injustice in her home area and building right relationships. It's such healing, holy work, and I love that about the podcast we work on to bring monthly episodes like this. Sometimes you'll hear a person, a conversation with a person who has a higher profile, but the bread and butter of our show is the power of the ordinary person to heal, love, and generate well-being across creation. Well, that said, let's go to the conversation that was previously recorded.
You have such a touching personal story about how you became a peace activist when you were a child. Why don't we start there?
Oh, when I was a child, I think I was born with it, to tell you the truth. Probably had something to do with my father, who was pretty much an unconventional person, stemming from his life and the way he grew up. I think I always ordinarily had some sort of sense of injustice.
And tell us about what happened in elementary school with the bomb drills.
Oh, the bomb drills. That happened around when I was about 12, in between 10 and 12. And we used to have these idiotic, you know, nuclear bomb things, and you were supposed to, when the bell rang, get up out of your chair and go down to the basement of the school, all right? Well, being who I am, my little brain said, why wouldn't the bomb get all the way down into the basement, too? So I went home and I looked up some things, and I found photographs from the Hiroshima and Nagasaki bombs hitting in Japan, which, you know, is awful. And I had these photographs, and I believe it had some of the children showing in those photographs that were not, they were naked and they were scarred, et cetera, et cetera. And I brought those photographs to school to show to my friend, because my friend wanted to know why I wouldn't go down. Because I refused. I refused to go down to the basement. So Sister Frances was not very happy with me. So a message, of course, goes home, you know, when you don't obey. And I told my mother, I'm not going to go along with that, because I don't see where that could stop me from being affected by a nuclear bomb. And I brought these photographs in, and I showed them to my friend Dolores, who asked me about it too, and then Dolores passed them around to some of the other kids in the class. And the next time we had one of these drills, nobody got up and went down to the basement. And so Sister Frances was, you know, what is she going to do? You know, when you non-cooperate, this is a principle of nonviolence. When you non-cooperate, you get results. And you can do that in a nonviolent method. And I think that's what we automatically did that day. And instead, she had us recite the Lord's Prayer. And we never did another drill.
Beautiful. So tell us about your education, maybe in college or beyond college, that led to peacemaking.
Well, actually, when I graduated high school, I didn't go directly to college, okay? And instead, I went directly to Greenwich Village. I'm from New Jersey. I was living in New Jersey at that point. And I went to Greenwich Village to live and work with the folk music people, and that was during the 1960s. And at that time, it was the Vietnam War and the Civil Rights Movement. So I immediately got very involved in that. I think my sense of injustice has always been within me, and I just, you know, I just went right into that movement. And originally, it was mostly the Civil Rights Movement, but eventually, really, the Vietnam War got to be more of our issue in Manhattan, and many of the marches, and met many of the people, and a lot of the folk singers who were protest folk singers, you know, Phil Oakes and some of those other people, and I got to know them very well, and that's how I came to California, because we all moved out this way. But during the 60s, that's what I was involved with. I marched down in Selma with Martin Luther King, and marched in all of the Vietnam War things that we had going on in New York. Was attacked once with one of the marches. And, you know, communism was a big thing still during the 1960s. I mean, through my youth in the 1950s, it was always communism, communism, communism. And I was in this march, and I'm wearing my very lovely gray coat with a mink collar, of all things. I mean, I wouldn't do that today. But that's what I had. And this man comes running over to me, grabs me by my mink collar, shouts in my face, "You're a communist," because we were protesting the Vietnam War. And I very foolishly, as a young person, turned around to him and said, "I am not a communist. I'm an anarchist." What do you say to that? But that was really where I got most of my formal nonviolence type of education. I don't think I really understood it as well then as I do now, because I really related to it as something you did when you were in a protest movement. So you did not react violently in a protest movement. And you get trained, you know, if you have to march with Martin Luther King, you have to go through a training in order to not get into trouble. And I really thought that's what it was all about. And it isn't until this period of my life that I've come to understand that it really is a lifestyle. It really is the principles of nonviolence or something that you have to have within you all the time. So that's where I'm at now.
And we are in Morro Bay, California, on the beautiful Central Coast. And you are the director of Yes, We Can, Peace Builders.
Yes, we can.
So tell us how that was formed and about its mission.
All right. Yes, We Can, Peace Builders came out of the problem that we have, particularly here in Morro Bay, with the homeless. And this was during the late part of 2015, going into 2016. We seemed to get an increase in a lot of homeless people coming into the town. A lot of people blamed it on that recession that we had from 2008 on. There were a number of people living in their cars. And then there is the transient homeless. So we had this influx coming in that we couldn't handle here. And a group formed called the Estero Bay Alliance for Care. And we all sat on that group, various different agencies, various different organizations. I did not have Yes We Can going at that time, but I was involved with the Alliance for Care, seeing what we could do to help. And part of the thing that came out of that was the Monday night dinners that we offer to the homeless and to the poor in this area, or to anyone in the community that wants to come. But in 2016, I was ready to write my Thanksgiving message for Morro Bay Life, the newspaper that I write. And I got really kind of sick and tired of writing about turkeys and pilgrims, etc. And I thought, we really need the right thing. We need really what is thankfulness all about. And in that, I was led to kind of seek out where could I get some help with this problem that we have in this community, that the people were reacting so poorly to these homeless people. And then extending that out, because if they're reacting poorly to the homeless people, whatever else is going on. And my whole thinking was, how you think is how you speak and how you act. So I decided at that point that I would see about what I could do to form a group. And I stumbled across the Pachi Ibeni Campaign Nonviolence website. And I stumbled across a guy by the name of John Deere. I actually met John in 2015 here at St. Timothy's Church at one of the evening meals that we did for the homeless. And I didn't know who he was then, and he was talking to a guy by the name of Taylor Newton, who's the head of the Guerrilla Gardeners. And that is a group that helps at-risk youth that have been in prison or been in jail reorganize their lives, and he does it through teaching them how to garden, etc. And John heard about that, and he came down to talk to the guy, and I didn't know who John was, and he's talking to Taylor, and he's talking about how nobody should go to prison, and everybody should be free, and I turned around to him and flippantly said, well, you want all the killers and the what have you out on the street, walking out on the street? I mean, what is this? And he turned around and fled, and I think, well, okay, I don't know who that guy was. Found out about 2-3 weeks later that he was a visiting Catholic priest, and I thought, oh, gripes, I'm in trouble. You know, not supposed to do that kind of thing. But his head got in my head, and his name got in my head, and I was led to look up who he was and what he was doing, and it was exactly the thing that I knew I needed to do to form this group that I wanted to do. And I stumbled on something called the Nonviolent Cities Project. And before I knew it, I clicked and signed up Morro Bay to participate in the Nonviolent Cities Project, wherein I was then sent a message that John Deere would be sending me an email. I figured, well, it's some kind of form letter. I'll fill it out. Didn't know where I was going with this. I didn't know how to do this. I chose Yes, We Can, because every time somebody said to me, well, we can't do anything about the homeless, I started saying, yes, we can. And anything that came up, I found myself saying, yes, we can. And Peace Builders just sort of fit with that, so I married that together, formed the group, called together about 15 people, and said, we're going to do this Nonviolent Cities project. Well, I did hear from John, okay? And he said, here's my phone number, call me up. And I thought, oh, my God, I can't call this guy up. Nobel Peace Prize candidate, you know, international lecturer. So I wrote him a long email. And I wrote him about what I had done during the 1960s with the protest movement and the Vietnam War and the civil rights movement. And he called me. And from then on, we have collaborated to this very day. We work together. But Nonviolent Cities Project for Morro Bay has been very, very interesting because in that we have had to bring together not just our group, Yes We Can Peace Builders, but the city council, the mayor, the city manager, the police, and particularly lately we are working very, very avidly with the police to try to get a better understanding with the community what the police do and why they do it, and for the police, how the community feels and why they feel the way they do. And that's kind of where we're at with this thing right now. I think out of it, we did one 12-week workshop, which is a book I have here with me that I can show you later. But it's a really interesting course that's put together to help people understand the principles of nonviolence. And it particularly teaches about what violence is. That was the critical thing that people don't understand, that violence isn't just somebody shooting somebody on the street. There's a far more insidious type of violence that goes on. And if you bear with me, if this is okay, I'm going to read a little something. I just stumbled across this today at lunch. You had called me, I was going to eat my lunch, and I stumbled across this. So I'm going to read this. This is about violence. Violence is done when parents insult children, when teachers demean students, when supervisors treat employees as disposable means to economic ends, when physicians treat patients as objects, when people condemn gays and lesbians in the name of God, when racists live by the belief that people with a different skin color are less than human. And just as physical violence may lead to bodily death, spiritual violence causes death in other guises. The death of a sense of self, of trust in others, of risk-taking on behalf of creativity, of commitment to the common good. Says it all for me. It's really, and that's the kind of thing that we're trying to get across in the workshops that we do, in the group discussions that we do within the Nonviolent Cities Project.
We'll return momentarily to our conversation with Ruth Ann Angus of Yes We Can Peace Builders. Next year, I want to say 2020, Jubilee Economics Ministries is 20 years old, and we're going to hold a year, not just one day, but a year's worth of special events. The year is going to revolve around four key events. One is planting trees, because we want to join the Trillion Tree Campaign to reverse the gas emissions in the air by using photosynthesis to pull CO2 out of the atmosphere. And then we're going to have a One Earth Travel Seminar to Mexico, and learn from the Jubilee circles there and from such things as the Zapatista movement in Chiapas. And we want to learn how the One Earth efforts are going forward there. It's very, very exciting. And whoever chooses to go with us can't help but return thinking of new ways to work at One Earth Living in whatever area you're from. So please join us on that travel seminar. $1,250 round trip from Tijuana will cover everything for you. And then the third thing in September, it'll be early September, we're going to have a one-day conference on Jubilee, because so much has happened in Jubilee since 1970, and most people do not know what a awesome kind of worldview this is. So we'll have a full conference on that, and I hope many of you will join us for that. And then finally, in early November, we're going to have a party, I guess we'll call it, with lots of music and a very strong time of looking at what we've done in 20 years, but most importantly, to launch the years ahead. So that's what we're going to be doing in celebration of our 20th year. Do continue to pay attention, and we'll continue to make announcements about it. Well, now let's return to our conversation with Ruth Ann Angus.
What else do you want to know?
Well, just for those who aren't familiar with the foreign terms, pace e bene means peace and goodness.
Right.
And it, as you say, is a national movement. And I understand that you have, after 2 years' effort, received a resolution from the Morro Bay City Council.
This is true. I forgot about that. Yes, you're right. That actually, that was part of what you're supposed to do with the Nonviolent Cities Project. The idea is to get all of these, you know, the city people together with your group as you work together. So I worked on that for about a year, and at that time we had Mayor Jamie Irons, who had been one of the people that wanted the Estero Bay Alliance for Care to be put together to do something about the homeless problem. And so I figured I had maybe a little bit of an in. But the thing that threw it over and I got a little bit of a blessing was I brought John here in November of 2017 to give a lecture at the hall, and we had about 200 people that came, one of whom was the mayor. And I hit up the mayor at that meeting for a proclamation of peace from the city, and he agreed that he would meet with me and we could talk about it. So we did talk about it for some months, because it's difficult sometimes when you're dealing with people, and particularly if they have had military background, because in our view of nonviolence, militarism is not acceptable. But again, we don't want to trounce on anybody that has served. That's not the point. So he had a little bit of an issue with that, because in the peace proclamation we say that we are against war. We do not want the city of Morro Bay to say it's okay to have war. So in other words, that would be built within the proclamation. And we had to work out the wording back and forth, back and forth. So it took a while. It turned out that we were able to get that proclamation put out for us at a city council meeting on an auspicious day, September 11th, 2018. Not planned, it just happened that way. My feeling is there are no coincidences with God, and that was a God thing if ever there was a God thing. So we do have a proclamation with the city. It has made a difference, because I remind them, we have a new council now, and I remind them that we have this. You have to keep on it. This is the kind of work that never stops. I don't find that I get a break. And I am primarily the main person that does a lot of this. But that's okay. I'm the liaison. I think because I'm also a journalist, it has made a difference. I do think it has put a little bit of fear of God in some of them, because they're afraid of what I'm going to put in the paper. But I always try to be very, you know, two sides to a story, and I'll give both sides the time and the space. I think that's only fair. So it has worked out very well, but the project is moving along. We were working right now with the police. I just finished a 9-week course called the Citizens Police Academy to learn why they do and how they do and what their thinking is and what their training is. And I'm writing a series of articles every month. It'll probably go on for some months now, because there's a lot to that particular thing. And I think every citizen here should take that. About 7 or 8 of us took that course. There's an attitude towards police in this country, and possibly granted in some cases, but maybe not possibly granted overall. And I think without understanding, without being able to put yourself into the shoes of the other person, you don't really gain any understanding. And I say that for the police also, to put themselves in the shoes of the homeless. But that's where our major issue is in this town. We don't have a lot of violence here. We had 2 murders and 2 suicides, and I believe that was in 2017, a bad year for us. But you can go for a long stretch in Morro Bay and never have that kind of thing going on. We do have people that have problems with alcohol, problems with drugs. We do have domestic, what I call domestic violence. And one of those murders was a domestic violence situation. And we're trying to work with all of these agencies and these various people to give people some help, something to hang on to, some new way of looking at things, some new way of thinking. And I think the way you think comes out with the way you speak and the way you're going to act. That's what the nonviolence thing is all about for us.
I understand that the Morro Bay Day of Peace or Week of Peace coordinates with the Global Day of Peace.
The International Day of Peace from the United Nations, September 21st. Interestingly enough, when September 11th happened, I had just left New York. I just missed it. And I lived in Greenwich Village, which is very close to where the 2 World Trade buildings were. They were built after I left, but still, the demolishing of those buildings and the thing that happened there, I remember thinking that, gee, pieces of people would have floated on the air. They would have landed on even my building. I mean, that came across to me very soundly. So when I came back from that and heard that that happened, I had visited my mother in the nursing home, and a number of the elderly people in the nursing home gave up the ghost that particular week. He had the administrator told me that at least 3 or 4 people decided that they didn't want to go on anymore. They were up in their 90s or up to 100 years old, and they just gave up and died. My mother said to me, "I think it's time for me to go." She was 90. She had turned 90. And I said, "Well, if you're okay with that and you're okay with God, it's fine by me." Her only concern was, what's going to happen to me in view of what was going on in the world? I don't know what's going to happen. We'll have to see, but I'll be fine. I knew I would be fine. And my mother passed away on 9/21 of 2001. I didn't know that that was the International Day of Peace. Down the road, I come to learn about the International Day of Peace, working with John and working with the Campaign Nonviolence, and they like us to do some sort of an event every year. They've asked all the groups that are involved to do some sort of event, at least around that particular time, and they block out a week. Sometimes it's so many days before, so many days after. And so you do something that is either some sort of an action, could be a demonstration, could be a peace vigil, could all kinds of different things. Or you could be doing something humanitarian, helping the poor, helping the homeless, all kinds of different groups doing this. And when they started doing that, I think it was maybe 2014 or something like that, they only had about 240 cities that took place in that. 240 groups, let's say, that did that. They now are up to over 3,000 groups. It says something that has grown to that extent. So every week we do one here, too, and I've done them throughout the county. In 2018, I had about 5 events throughout the county, and I ask people to honor that day. If you have a peace group, I know you belong to a peace group, I'd love for that peace group to do something on the 21st of September this next coming year. Doesn't have to be a big deal, but we do it. And this year we did a peace picnic in the park, which was a lot of fun. We decided that in order to be visible and be visible to the public, we would be outside, and we didn't want to do a march. That's not our thing. So we decided to do a peace picnic in the park, and we invited the local drumming group to come. And it was about 40 people with all of their drums. We made a lot of wonderful noise. We sang a lot. The peace choir came, and they sang. We have filmed that. I filmed both that event. We filmed John's first talk here, and we have filmed my peace proclamation with the city. We have 3 pieces of what we think will work into a full-blown film that we would like to bring to the San Luis Obispo Film Festival and maybe other film festivals across the country. My next project is to get the high school students with their social justice class and have them complete that film. And I'm going to, hopefully, they can choose whatever they want, but it has to work within the nonviolence principles. And I'll be talking to a teacher next week. I'm going to call over there to see if we can get that started and finish off our film. And then that film will be available to all of the groups if they want to show that about how we do this particular Peace Week and International Peace Day. United Nations International Peace Day. It's been around a long time. I think they started it in 1948. So it's not something that hasn't been out there. It's just we haven't known about it. We need to make it a big deal.
Well, I appreciate your website, yeswecanpeacebuilders.org. And you have your proclamation video on the website. Thank you. You also have a blog. And we'll, of course, put those notes in our show notes for this particular episode. Now, one thing about this podcast is that we are looking for economic models that will work on One Earth, because our current system of capitalism will work well if you happen to have five Earths. So
we could use five Earths at this point. You know what? This is the only one, folks. I don't know about you guys, but I don't want to live on Mars. So if that's our only alternative, we're in trouble.
So in your statement of your vision statement, you mentioned about economic justice. And so you're welcome to comment on aspects of that, ways that you might be seeking that out in the county.
I would love to talk to that for this reason. Unbeknownst, if you come to Morro Bay, California, and you look at it, it is absolutely visually beautiful. And poverty is hidden. Morro Bay has the highest poverty level in the county of San Luis Obispo. One-third of the population is in poverty here. That speaks to the fact that we have an unbalanced economic system. We do not have jobs that pay enough money for people to be able to exist here at the prices that we're offered for housing, food, gas for our car, etc. It's a huge problem. We talked that part of that Alliance for Care group is involved with this poverty, and it's not just homelessness, but poverty leads to homelessness easily. I live every day one step from living in my car. I live at the grace and the benefit of my landlady, who doesn't charge me the market rent. I couldn't be here otherwise. I don't know. I would be really destitute. And a lot of people are facing this kind of thing. I think the economic injustice that we have, and if it's here in Little Morro Bay, it's got to be everywhere. It's got to be a lot of places. So there's something basically wrong with our whole system. Our value system is completely out of sorts. Where do we begin to turn this around? My belief is the only way we're going to turn it around is from a very small grassroots, bottom level up type of work, and that's what Yes We Can Peace Builders is. I can't change the federal government. I mean, I can non-cooperate. Do you understand what I mean by non-cooperate? I probably shouldn't say this over the air, but I do not file income tax. I made my decision that so long as they're going to use my money for warfare and nuclear armaments, I'm not going to pay. As best I can, I non-cooperate. And I think that more of that has to happen before we're going to get some change. We look at these issues. We look at war, poverty, homelessness, racial, gender, and environmental injustice. That's that whole theme that we have. And you look at that and you think, what part of this is causing the other thing? Does it start with economic injustice and then ascend to war? Or does war start it and descend to economic injustice? I'm beginning to think it's that way and not the other, to be honest with you. But obviously our system is completely out of sorts, and how do we begin to change this? And I think the only way is for us to sit at the table. I do these things called talk around the table, and discuss what we feel and what we see going on and how we think it should go, et cetera, et cetera. And it has to start at the bottom level and work up. So that's the idea of working here and working with our community and working with our city people to make changes. And it's not something that's happening overnight. It's going to take time. It's this constant drumming away at it. I wish I had the marvelous, you know, push the button and I had the answer, but I don't. I just think that we have to do this kind of work, and it's ongoing work, and you just do it until you die. I guess that's how it's going to be.
Well, I don't mean to put a smiley face on what you're saying by any means, but I would like people to get the picture that, you know, California provides 40% of all the produce for the entire nation. There is so much food in California, and we have in San Luis Obispo County a collaborative of food banks and has dozens of food distribution sites throughout the county. Each town has food distribution every week, as well as free meals. So it's a matter of partly of getting the word out to people who need food. So food is not so much the issue as, like you said, housing.
We know here in this town that if we could have more people coming here to work, if we could establish good jobs, better paying jobs than just retail or working in a restaurant, but we have no place to house them. And what we do have is so priced so high, no one can afford it. I was telling somebody the other day that they were complaining about this, that, and the other thing, and I said, you know, when you think about it, we had this space called the Cloisters, just up here in North Morro Bay, and it was this big open space for years and years and years and years. It never got developed into anything. We kind of liked it that way at the time, but they decided they wanted to develop it, and at the time I kept harping at the city people, why don't we put in a business park, a small industrial park? Instead, they put in zillion-dollar houses, houses that none of us that already live here can afford, so it's only going to attract people who are more affluent than us to come into the area. But it doesn't solve this other issue. And we've seen poverty grow in this community since that time instead of decrease.
Well, thank you, Ruth Ann, for directing Yes, We Can, Peace Builders. This is the formal end of our conversation, but I'll keep the recorder running for a couple of minutes if you'd like to give any closing thoughts or if you have a brainstorm.
I don't know about a brainstorm. My closing thoughts really are for people to, you know, try to tie on to the principles of nonviolence. It's something that you have to do within yourself. I think it starts on a personal level. Everything starts on a personal level with us. And get in, join a group. I would love to have more people join my group. And we do this via the circle of trust type, where you don't criticize anyone and you don't advise anyone. We allow people to express themselves, and through that expression, where you hand them the principles of nonviolence, but you're not trying to shove it down their throats. It's difficult. It's a difficult teaching method. But we need more action. I think that a lot of people are sitting on their hands. A lot of people are in fear. A lot of people in despair. I have to tell you, I have hope. I think we can conquer this. You have to keep hope in your heart and group together and work at it. That's what Yes We Can Peace Builders is about. That's, you know, it's vital. Yeah.
You've been listening to the second half of our conversation with Ruth Ann Angus. Find information and blogs on the internet at yeswecanpeacebuilders.org. In the next episode, we'll talk with biology professor David Hoferer, an activist with the Sierra Club and Audubon Society, about the reasons for and effects of declining bird populations. Have you listened to our recent episodes? In October, we talked with Margaret Bullitt Jonas, missioner for Creation Care, who asks, are faith communities mobilizing for the climate emergency. In November, Lee and I discussed Lee's timely new book, The Liberating Birth of Jesus, a story able to reverse our planet's perils. Do listen. We're sure you'll pick up thoughts you'll value. We certainly did as we created those episodes. Please tell us your thoughts on these subjects. Leave a message on the Jubilee One Earth Economics and Simple Living Works Facebook pages. Well, time to wrap up this episode. You can subscribe to this podcast under the names The Common Good Podcast and Simple Living Works at your favorite podcast service. Urge your friends to do the same. Until next time, this is Jerry Iverson of Simple Living Works with co-host Lee Van Ham of Jubilee One Earth Economics, wishing you well as we strive together to bring simpler One Earth living into being for the common good.
Simply live, learn to live simply so others can live.